Once again, everybody, welcome to Never Tell Me the Odds, the Star Wars RPG podcast, the only podcast that knows which droid you're looking for.
Oh!
I
don't like that one.
David, what are the chances somebody's going to enjoy that joke?
That implies
never
that
tell
he's
me the
written
chances?
A few.
I was working on him this morning. I didn't have any.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I'm drunk. Yeah. I'm telling you.
Drunk already. First thing I want to do is say thank you so much to the winner of our dice giveaway.
Yay! Woo! Hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks all the listeners out there. But we're going to keep doing these periodic Twitter giveaways. So follow us on Twitter at NTMTO Podcast.
Get it clean.
That's Never Tell Me the Odds Podcast. Never Tell Me the Odds Podcast. NTMTO Podcast. It's Star Wars, guys. All the Star Wars related handles are taken. So this is the best thing I could find. But follow us there.
No.
We do monthly giveaways. The winner of the last giveaway is going to win this handsome set of game dice, which we'll be playing with today, so you guys can play along at home. Hey, that's great. The winner is also going to win, is receiving this handsome thing that I made up here of Wookiee Goldberg showing.
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
You guys remember Wookiee Goldberg? Yeah, very good.
She's a national treasure.
Can you read the quote?
Yeah. Do you like my hair? It's autumn sunrise, which everyone recognizes as the quote from Ghost, where she plays the medium, right?
Mm-hmm.
I did not recognize it, but I think it's a great call.
Yeah, it's great. So you'll be receiving that as well. We'll take a photo of this and get it online so everyone else can appreciate it. But only the winner will own it and enjoy it, along with these dice, and also a handsome Never Tell Me the Odds decal that they'll be receiving. So thanks for following, guys. Follow us on Twitter for a chance to win next month's like random giveaway sweepstakes. Oh, also big thanks to Clockwork Tour for letting us play here again. They're the best.
Yeah.
Woo! Love you.
Guys, the holidays are here. They're upon us, or possibly in the far future or the past.
You got Valentine's Day is coming up.
Depending on what time of year you're listening to this particular episode, the holidays are almost here, guys.
4th of July. Happy America. Happy year.
Come by tomorrow for a pancake breakfast.
Pancakes.
That'd be amazing.
Never tell me
that.
The pancakes.
By the time you hear this, everyone at that breakfast will have died.
Yeah.
Well, what are you basing that on? I hope not.
The poison we're putting in the syrup.
No. Check out clockworkcouture.com, clockworkcouture.
What was that, David?
clockworkcouture.com. Clockworkcouture.com. They've got great things. They do little boxes that are like a subscription boxes, which have giveaway stuff.
Like them on Facebook.
No,
I like them.
Great.
Follow them on Instagram.
They're great. We love them. And they're wonderful to nerds. So,
yes.
Good times.
Give All them right. 5 stars on OKCupid.
Can we go around the table?
No!
Just say who we all are and who we're playing. And let's start on the other end from the guy who's putting a huge burrito in his mouth.
Radio ready.
Andrew. Still eating. Andrew.
Sure, I'm Andrew. I'm playing Gippy Bindu, who's a Mon Calamari diplomat. He's at the end of his life cycle in late 90s human years and is well over 400 pounds.
Hey, I'm Jeanette. I play Lowric. I want to make all your dreams come true. He's a Wookiee. And he has a vibroax and he wants to make your dreams come true.
Great.
Gary playing MJ, a human bounty hunter assassin.
I'm Daniel. I'm playing Derek, a droid who thinks he's an angsty teenager.
You guys all remember Derek from the first three episodes of
he's
Never
back.
Tell Me the Odds.
I'm back for whatever time you're listening to this to.
Hey, I'm Tom. I'm playing DAM, which stands for Decryption Android Aeronautical Mechanic and Navigator. He's a mechanic technician and a droid. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Matt Cook. I'm playing Baltarp Zin, the Tau smuggler. I make little droids and pretend like they're the smuggler and they have a beast companion, but really it's the beast who has the droid companion.
Last we left off. Oh, I should introduce myself.
Hi, David.
David Krennan, the dungeon master. Fuck. I'm off of it, guys, today. I'm David Krennan. I'll be your game master today once again, and it is, of course, my delight to get this motley crew of improvisers and ne'er-do-wells together. So once again, you guys are attempting to stay alive on the edges of the galaxy, on the run from the Empire, with a mysterious artifact. Your journey so far has taken you to a very distant planet in the Pendelian system. Extreme, extreme far reaches of the galaxy. You have just kind of faint suggestions or rumors that this might be a key, a key to the fabulous wealth of a long-lost alien empire. From the looks of it, this is just a totally barren planet with one settlement of a couple thousand people. Across these like blasted salt flats of the planet, there's a hermit who used to come into town about once a year. No one's seen him for a few years. Basically, they say, if anyone knows anything about this weird black piece of stone you have, it would be him. So we find yourselves miles and miles outside of town, sweat pouring down your heads as you cross a giant boiling sea of salt. It's just huge, flat, and shallow, and the entire top of it has been covered in a thick crust of salt. A few inches thick, almost. Looks almost like ice, except you can hear the water boiling underneath from like natural geothermic activity, and you can smell, the air smells like hot salt water, basically. Like if you just had a pot of salt water underneath your nose. And it's incredibly hot. It's like you're walking across the top of a skillet, almost. Fortunately, these big plates of solidified salt crystal have kind of run up against each other and formed these ridges that are a foot, 2 feet wide in some places, just 6 inches above these plates of salt. So you can kind of walk across this and you don't have to worry about breaking through these sheets of salt, which otherwise look very fragile. So you've been making your way across this, following this kind of zigzagging crest of salt that leads you here and there. So this was, of course, Baltar's blaster rifle slung over his shoulder, looking good. Dam walking along behind him. Malcolm sulking along in the rear. We also had the Wookiee.
Axing questions
with her vibro-axe up in the front and somewhere lumbering around in the middle. Sweating, I can only imagine, an ungodly amount.
I'm surprised I did not, like, procure some droids to, like, basically carry me.
Some, like, machinist droids in this mining colony?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's possible. Well, too late now.
All right. Fair enough.
Ankles are slowly turning red from boiling hot salt.
Yeah, actually, with the salt water and, like, just the fishiness of Gippy, it actually smells pretty great.
Yeah.
Mouth is watering.
Yeah, it's all you guys can do to, like, just cast a sidelong glance over to Gippy and imagine pushing him in and then just
fishing
his boiling, like, red body out and feasting on it. You guys also miraculously, on the outskirts here, have run into Derek.
Hey.
Who a few of you guys recognize. A couple of you guys recognize him. Basically just Lorik and Gippy recognize.
Oh, he's... Never mind.
Yeah, not... Logan would have recognized you.
Too soon.
Where's Logan?
But Logan's dead.
He's like, hey, where's Logan at?
Logan died because you couldn't protect him.
Oh.
He was in the first three episodes of Never Tell Me the Odds. So Derek, the last we heard from you, you guys had split up the massive payout, basically, from selling off this artifact. Later you got it back, which is why you have it now.
Toopy.
Yes, he died. But you have like this, you had like a nice nest egg from that, and you're like, later suckers, I'm gonna go joyride around the galaxy, buy like a nice swoopy
swoop.
Yeah, a swoop de ville.
Yeah, I swooped to Ville, and just we're going to cruise around the galaxy.
Oh, it was nice.
That was more than a year ago since this has happened.
Oh, snaps.
About a year and a half ago. Time has elapsed. And the other thing, Derek, is you would have found your face on the galaxy's most wanted lists all across the Empire.
But he wouldn't. He looks at it and goes, oh, that droid's in trouble.
It's weird that...
Brush his hair out of his eyes.
Yeah, oh, fuck, I hate to be that droid. Whatever, cool thing, I'm a cool teen.
Isn't being a teenager great?
Okay. And then he's like, oh, my knees feel rusty.
Getting older.
But he shakes it off.
So, Derek, what are you doing out here in the extreme far regions of the galaxy?
I'm just finishing up one of the Earth series comics. I've just been kind of kicking it. I was joyriding around, which is all well and good, but then I realized I was just hopping from different, like, intergalactic comic books shops to see if they had the latest issue of Earth series. I want to say, like, 28 is the one I was on. This is the story about just the fisherman off the coast of Alaska. named Ansel Byrne. Nothing that crazy happens in it.
Oh, okay.
A lot of the times it's just him on a boat. You flip the pages, he's just sitting on the boat. And then, like, the last panel is him just going, whoop.
The horizon's just glitching.
You just
see,
like,
the only difference between frame to frame.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, what a fucking dope life.
So you, to get a little peace and solitude, you flew out to the furthest reaches of the galaxy?
Just picking up various trades and comics about all the cool things on this futuristic planet called Earth.
Yeah.
And he's happy that it's like, you know, his dad's off his case because he did make some money. So he was able to like write home and be like, get off my back. I'm doing fine.
Which, again, is not a real home and you do not actually have a dad.
No,
right?
Definitely okay. Not. So the letters are just wandering in space.
You just put them out the airlock.
Yeah.
All right.
Kevin Costner.
Yep.
So we've got you. So you were probably flying.
We need a backdrive for the listeners. I'm assuming Gary just made a Postman reference about Kevin
Postman
Costner.
Or water world.
What's
he talking
about?
Message in a bottle.
Oh no!
Oh my
worse.
God!
Wait, what?
You can't use Kevin Costner as a verb and assume that we know message in a bottle.
Well, the fact that there are four movies you could have picked from, it's like
none
a future
of them
adventure.
None of them were.
How do they not work?
None of them were appropriate.
Doesn't message in a bottle, doesn't he just throw a bottle in the ocean and fall in love?
I've never seen this movie.
I've never heard of it.
Yeah, it's 2 minutes long. That's why. He throws a message in a bottle and you see in his eyes that he's fallen in love.
And then the
it.
Sun sets
yeah.
in the next panel.
Panel of the movie.
I'm glad we cleared that up for the listeners who were like, paused it, like looked through his IMDb, like what could this be?
What movie could this be? Kevin Costner send letters out of an airlock.
I know he was technically in The Big Chill, but they cut him out.
They cut out all the space fights. Yeah. In The Big Chill.
Also, I'd like to say I've been watching S.H.I.E.L.D.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this
Star
plot...
Wars. This is Star Wars.
Is they're parallel.
What?
Yeah,
it's
pretty amazing.
It's season 2 yeah. of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. No. I haven't seen a single episode
it's
of
amazing.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
It's amazing.
It's the exact
wow.
same plot.
The exact
they get an artifact that turns Sorry. Out to be a key to they, open something in an ancient city.
That they find at the end of Salt Flat.
Well, I will admit, this is not the most original plot that anyone's ever come up with. I've never been like, what if someone finds an old key and they need to like...
Yeah, it is basically like stock plot number 3.
Yeah. It's,
none of this mainstream
No,
ABC
it just hurts
shows.
It hurts my feelings to find out that my storylines are getting stolen by Hollywood.
It's no, it's
hard
okay.
to know that.
It's all right.
They were on first.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They just had their mid-season finale where they resolved this.
Derek.
What's up?
So you probably have been, I think you've been thought dead or missing for a while. Like, maybe, yes.
I'm really sorry. Could he have gone in to buy a comic from that shop owner who escape-potted into the next building?
Yeah, that's yeah. what happened.
Great. Right.
Yeah, so you were just in the shop reading from the rack while like
yeah.
the skate pods were going off. Yeah.
What the fuck? Keep it down.
Yeah. No. And then you like recognize or these two guys recognized you or whatever and it's yeah. just good times. But yeah, you've probably been stranded on this planet for a while now and but they've got a comic shop so you haven't been bothered by it.
Yeah, I haven't noticed.
Okay. The other thing we've got our random celebrity name table.
Yeah.
And so we've got all sorts of great names that you guys write out. And let's just add some more names. And
are we going to cross out the ones we've done?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, we may roll again if they come up.
It's like every NPC is Gilbert Gottfried.
So go ahead and write. Yeah, if you guys, we'll just pass this around and write down one celebrity who you feel like you can do a reasonable impression of.
And Dark Typhonus is played by Gilbert Gottfried.
Come to the dark side.
Can we, what's the limit on names?
Nothing. Well, let me read to you some of the names that were written down last session. Tiny Tim.
Okay.
Great. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Gilbert Gottfried. The Watcher. From the Marvel comics. The Penguin. Black Panther from the Ultimate Universe.
Oh, good.
Gary.
He can't speak. That's why it was funny.
That's why it's all, it really killed.
Corky. Corky Romano twice. Jubilee.
Who hit these?
Most of these were Gary.
Romano is a Chris Kattan movie.
Yes, yeah. That's actually very.
You guys want some cookies?
Hey, want to buy some cookies?
So we got the group of you guys, including Derek, are heading out across these salt flats. And the other thing we need to do real quick is establish our force pool. Gary, go ahead and roll that up. And let's see how many light side, dark side points we get.
Yes.
Two
light side.
Yeah. Two light side points.
Yeah, baby.
Starting strong.
Hell yeah, motherfucker.
One dark side point.
You're up, T.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Can I borrow some? I need another force point.
Can I borrow a feeling?
I rolled one dark.
Can I borrow a feeling? That was the Milhouse's dad's song, right? I got that one.
Shit.
Oh, damn.
Dark side. One dark
one
side.
One dark side. Tommy rolled two light.
Oh, you got your own. Dark side.
Oh, 4-4.
One dark side?
It's like the balance of the universe.
It's the balance of the force.
Okay. She rolled dark.
So we need four light, four dark.
Got them all.
Ball. Suck it, Anakin. We brought balance.
Guys, so we're setting out. Things are hot. You're sweating. You're crossing these salt flats. And finally, through the shimmering haze of all this like heat climbing up into the sky, you see the opposite bank finally. Long, dun-colored, dusty. You notice these large hills, like almost huge anthills, kind of like that, or termite mounds. But they look like they must be 20, 30, 40 feet tall, you know, bigger than that. Just huge on the opposite side, just everywhere. But that's still several hundred feet away. And that's important, because at this point, you hear that some more of this the skittering sound. And these centipedes kind of like start boiling off the sides here, rushing towards you. You see half a dozen. And then you notice what you thought was just maybe a big mound of earth opposite you guys shifts and starts standing up out of the dirt. It looks like an enormous...
Like from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Did they have anything as creative as what looks like a giant crawfish?
Yeah, episode 4.
All right, shit. No, that's not... Okay, no, so shifting...
It was called Enter the Giant Crawfish.
The dirt starts falling off of this thing. It gets up, and you can see what looks like... Yeah, it looks like a crawfish or a lobster or something like that if it was 20 feet tall at the shoulder and about 30 feet long and had four sets of massive pincers. The chitinous that's it. Yeah, the chitinous armor over its body is totally translucent. And you can see its internal organs and things like that shifting around inside of it. And it has two long eye stalks which come arcing up out of its head. And the bulbs at the end where its eyes are just dead white.
And it looks like he's smiling.
And
has all these like feelers coming off of its front and proboscises. Does not look... Yeah, it does. Like a little tiny smile on the front. This giant crawfish, however, does not seem to be bothered by the boiling salt. Because it starts like wading its way towards you. Stepping out onto these
evolution
panels of salt, and it starts cracking through the salt into the boiling water, and it just keeps coming, like wading directly out towards you guys. And you can see all the salt is starting to break up, and these big panels of salt are kind of starting to shatter and shift around, and like the cracks, like as if through ice, start coming closer and closer to where you guys are.
Derek smiles because he's like, he just read this whole series about fishermen in Alaska. And he just like remembers like one of Ansel Byrne's catchphrases. He's like, oh, it's the catch of the day, boys. And he just like looks around, but no one else has read this because it's kind of like you have to be in the know to have read this series. But he's like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yep, so that's exactly right. This thing's coming toward you. It's huge. There's at least a half dozen more of these other large centipedes that are skittering across the salt flats towards you as well. Basically, if you guys want to get to the opposite shore, you've got to go through this giant crawfish.
Negotiation.
So to get started, let's go ahead and roll up our initiative. The way initiative works in the Star Wars RPG is you roll either your vigilance or you roll your cool. Vigilant is if you're like surprised by something. This is, oh, did I notice this? And cool is if you are ready. You're like, someone's coming around the corner. So everybody, please roll your vigilance on this one. Whoever gets the most successes goes first.
Yes, I rolled 0 successes and 3 advantage.
3 successes.
0 success.
Dan rolled 1 success.
Nice.
2 for Bal.
Okay, so Lorik, you get to start us out, and I get to roll.
Hi, guys.
Horrible monsters. There they go.
I'm just gonna start out.
You guys look like you're about at long range from ground, which means you're about 3 move actions out to get across these salt flats and onto solid ground again. That's if you're going straight towards this giant monster. Now, if you didn't want to charge the giant monster, which may or may not be the best move, you could try and jump off of the kind of safe pathway and take your chances on the thin sheets of salt crystal that are floating on this boiling sea.
This crawdad thing is far away right now.
Yeah, we'll call it the giant salt pincher.
The giant salt pincher is far away right now.
Pretty far away from you. Take a couple moves before he gets to you. But the smaller, the centipede things, those move quite a bit faster, and it looks like they'll get to you here in one round.
How many of those are there?
You see 6 right now.
Okay.
And the giant salt pincher is blocking our path. I'm gonna axe him something.
Yeah, so yeah, if you just want to charge this guy straight on.
I'm charging. Running is the maneuver as my action. I'm gonna look at the salt and just kind of like maybe gauge the weak spots, what looks thinner than or thicker.
So if you want to take 2 maneuvers and an action, you can take 2 strain to do that. You could get right up to this thing, but you wouldn't have a chance to attack. So that's basically it.
Fuck fuck it. I'm just going to run towards the giant salt pit.
Okay, so Lorik takes off. Lorik, do you let out a Wookiee cry or anything like that as you charge towards this worthy
that
adversary?
That looks delicious.
I've got a blaster rifle. I'm going to take a shot at the big guy.
Great. So it's two purple, and then what else do you have in there?
A yellow and two green.
Great. Okay, roll it up.
Three success, and then two advantage, two threat. They cancel out, so three success.
Oh, solid. Three success. Great. So you do 13 points of damage. You
wow.
Nice.
You like there's a little recoil. The red bolt of energy goes blasting out, cracks this thing right in the middle of its like head plate. But you see almost half of that damage is soaked by its like thick armor plating.
Derek, kind of just he spent a long time just reading comics. And he's like, oh, yeah, cool. People can do stuff. so he... I have a light blaster, which is medium range. We'll have to, like, maneuver closer and fire, or...
You could fire it. So right now you're at long range. You could fire, but you would roll three purple instead of two purple.
Okay.
Or you can maneuver one closer and still fire.
Let's do that. So he moves a little closer before he gets his blaster ready, and he shoots at the salty pinchy...
yep.
That pinchy dude.
That's a pretty great roll.
It's fine.
Like one success and one advantage, right?
Yeah.
All right, one success, one advantage. So how much does your gun do?
A five, so it'd be six.
Okay.
Which I think soaks.
It all soaks. So you take the shot and just... And but it just like... One advantage.
The advantage is even though it soaks, it gives it a little bit of pause.
Okay.
Yes.
So you hit it. You hit it. You hit it on like one of its leg joints. It doesn't seem to have done any damage to it. It like, and you know, that leg kicks up into the air and like comes back down and it reshifts its weight.
So it's not running or moving too close.
Ever sure. The controller.
The salt flatch centipedes come skittering across the salt itself towards the meaty targets. Except, I guess, for the two droids. Probably just interested in drinking your
piss.
Fluid.
I don't know. That's what it sounded like.
Waterworld, Kevin Costner, again.
Put him over the goo pit.
The centipedes come skittering in towards you guys, closing distance. They'll be able to reach you on their next round. Three on either side, kind of coming up on either side of this thing. The giant salt flat pincher...
Goes home. Comes
David Pincher.
Comes crashing across the... just... Let's hear. So, Wookiee, you move twice. So this thing's one move away from you. It moves in right up next to you. Till it's looming over you and it's like... Eye stalks are kind of waving around wildly.
It's kind of cute this close. I kind of want to...
It raises... So I think it is checked a little bit by the attack with your advantage.
That's right.
So it raises both of its pinchers into the air and snaps them menacingly and then raises its massive tail, which you can see is like... Looks kind of like a crawfish tail. Lots of segments. And then the ending bit, though, where it's kind of like broad and flat, just looks like heavy plates of like armor. And it can raise that up over its head, and it's like shaking it menacingly, almost like a rattlesnake with like a...
So Dam is gonna, for his action, gonna roll a xenological check on this. He obviously, this creature has a formidable armor, but there must be some sort of chink in this armor.
Hey, come on!
So Dam's gonna roll.
I'm ready.
That.
Okay, so xenological check to figure out this thing is a pretty obscure life form. So three purples. I'm gonna say on that. This is not one of
whoa!
Them. Not one of the more well known ones.
Okay.
And
being a real dick about it. All right.
You can use the force.
Yeah, you do have the force points, but he's not using the force.
That's
complete wash.
Complete wash.
Only advantage and threat.
4 and 4. That's incredible.
44.
So a failure.
So a failure.
A failure with... That's still... You rolled up a ton of stuff there.
Now, how about this? Here's a question for you. Instead of a move action, could I use a minor and would this... Could I redo the skill again?
You want to take 2 strain. Okay. You can go ahead and make this check again.
I will do that.
3 purple still?
3 purple. Do you guys mind if I use a force die?
You don't ask. You tell us.
All right. I'm going to use a force die.
Turn the green into a yellow. Uh-huh. I'm actually going to go ahead and add a black setback because I think you're pushing yourself.
Okay.
Does to, not want you
the
to
pressure.
Find
not, yeah.
So I'm going to slap Dam on the ass and give him a boost die. So you got this.
Whoa.
Well, no. That's not in the rules.
Okay. I'm sure.
It is, but if you'd like to forfeit your turn, which is coming up, and if you'd like to spend your turn supporting him.
No. Not for knowledge. No.
He'll, but he'll still touch his ass.
Yeah, he still touches my ass.
Okay. Actually, then David's like, you get tetanus. That ability,
would you like to? Well, you've already... No, you haven't gone yet.
I haven't gone yet. On my turn, I get to boost somebody.
Would you like to step in here? The way they kind of lay out initiative is actually, just so you guys know, it's a little bit different from D&D, which is what they really care about is who goes before the monsters and who goes after the monsters or the starships. But within that order, it's a little freer. So the guys who are going after the monster, which is Dam and Malcolm and Gippy, all three of you guys can kind of, it's a little more fluid. You don't have to be locked in.
Then I'll use leadership. I'll try and do something that'll jog his memory banks. I'll put my hand on his shoulder if I'm near him.
The butt, just be like, the butt helps.
Yeah, I'll be like, near him.
Look at that creature. Look at his magnificent egg sacs. It's the most amazing in the animal kingdom. Ah, yes. Like, observe them closely.
And then hopefully that'll give you a boost. I have to roll my leadership. Oh, yeah. Totally succeed. Six successes. Oh,
did you roll two purple?
Yes, I did.
Huge.
And those came up as threat. So six successes and two threat.
Wow.
Two threat. Okay, that's interesting. So six successes, that blows it away. I'd say go ahead and get rid of that setback die.
Okay.
And keep that boost die.
Okay.
Yeah, so we'll totally reverse the situation.
Nice.
Okay, roll it up. But two threat? Two threat. So those will come in a second here.
Okay.
You see that it's pit.
Ooh.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Thump, 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 thump.
Whoa! Okay.
Quick fap in.
Wow. Two triumph. One threat. Is this failure?
Yeah, two failure.
One threat, two failure.
It's one threat.
It's one threat?
And two triumph.
Yeah, one threat and two triumph.
Like, oh,
you just look at it real hard and it fucking explodes.
Yeah,
right.
Two triumph. The two triumph is
fucking rare.
It's embarrassed
because it sees you staring at it.
Right.
And it just kind of goes away.
Iron fist that shit.
So yeah.
Can we just say real quick, this is the first time in this podcast that two triumphs have been rolled. So
wow.
Epic.
Yeah.
Epic.
Yeah. Let's pause to cue a little Star Wars music. Yes, thank you.
Like
that's exactly da 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 da. So I get to determine what threat is and despair. Triumph is what you get to figure out, and double triumph is
pretty like a much double
as
rainbow.
Good as it gets there. Yeah, double rainbow. So in terms of what you're trying to do, whatever the best result you can think of.
Hey, everybody. What's he say?
We're all going to get laid.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that when the music plays? The beatbox?
We're in the middle of a desert, and we're just looking around at each other. We're like,
that's fantastic.
What is this at?
That's the only thing we can double triumph from.
Yeah.
Quick personal story. When I was like eight or nine, I loved Caddyshack, watched it all the time. Didn't know what half the jokes meant, but loved it.
Yeah.
And one time at a family get-together, I was like, oh, you know what would be great? If I stood up and said that it's just that line, no other lines, and completely not like, didn't prep it at all. So I stood up and said that, and just, you couldn't.
Said what? Say it. Do it for real.
Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid. And then mom just quickly, sit down. You don't know what that means. Sit down right now.
In a family event.
At a family get together. Hey, everybody, we're all gonna get laid.
Tom, that's the funniest story I've ever heard.
That's great.
I've never, those like little like life body checks. It's like, oh, right, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I just thought it was a fun
thing. I thought it was funny. Everyone laughed. Because
that's formative.
And there's one second where you're like, mom, you just don't get, okay, everyone's not on board. All right, I'll sit down.
Yeah.
And that's why you do taxes now, right?
Yeah. I gave up pretty
how
quickly
old,
after that.
Tom, how old were you when you did that?
I mean, I was 24. Really young. I was 24. I just turned 24.
So we're all getting laid.
You want that to
all
be...
the centipedes just roll over.
Do I have a concussion grenade on me? I think I do. I have one left.
With
don't
two
I?
Tr-
ask, do I have a concussion?
Can we just, can I have a concussion? Edit that so it's just, do I have a concussion on me?
Hey.
And then do some,
feel numb and scared.
Yeah, so with two triumphs, you definitely have one concussion grenade left.
Great.
But this is a xenological check.
No, it's just a xenological check.
So your triumph is within the context.
Gotcha.
Within the context of this
check. How about this? Okay. So, not only do I vividly see the weak spot in the claw creature's armor, I get a
feverish electrical bolt up my droid neck and into my my brain, my machine
mechanical brain,
right?
Brain.
My mechanical brain.
Yeah,
your CPU.
And not machine only do man. Now, I don't know if this was set up, but there's part of my memory chips are missing.
Yes.
Right?
This reminds you of that somehow?
Two things happen. I get some personal memories back of what of some missing memories, right?
Okay.
So something charges in me and it's like, whoa, 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 oh, yeah, I know that now.
Yeah.
Right? And the second thing...
That's big.
...is... And, oh, so I guess it's not really second. It's part of the thing. I can speak this creature's language.
All right! There yes. we go.
And so what I do with... And I assume this doesn't take an action. This is just me speaking. I don't even like... I don't even think about it. I just say it.
Parcel tongue. Over
I there. Express to this claw creature...
But they speak like one of the celebrities.
Tell her she's
beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely does.
I say... I know we... I just like... Just pointedly... I know your weakness... It's basically like a cop with a gun out saying, "Freeze, asshole!" As convincingly as possible in this
okay.
strange alien language.
Now tell her I love her.
I will say, so yes, that's amazing. So double triumph. You can speak the language. Yeah, so all of a sudden, yeah, connections are made in your CPU. This has been locked away. You've been here before.
Right.
You've been on... Your memory that comes back is... You've been on this planet before. You didn't realize that until right now. You've been here before. This is all familiar to you. Like, you've... That place up ahead through these hills, you have been here before. You've encountered these creatures before.
You were raised by these creatures.
Well, no, we know you
Dad?
Were...
Dad?
Yeah.
We know you were raised by... We know we were raised by rodents, but it does seem to suggest that whatever mystery is entwined with this artifact must also be something that was part of your life before, prior to this memory being... expunged from you.
Wait a minute.
Life.
Okay. Are you miming screwing it into his dick?
That's what this was.
Okay, so the
I'm basically saying the claw creature, put your claws up, asshole, freeze!
Alright, claws go up. It goes... Wah! Oh, wait, I'm sorry, we have to roll for this celebrity.
What celebrity is
can I get a force die? What do we got? That's either the penguin or Harvey... Firestein.
Harvey Firestein. Definitely.
David.
It's just the breathy voice like this.
All right.
I don't
oh my
pictures.
God. It's oh yeah, I can't understand what you want from me. Put your claws up. I better call my lawyer. Just kidding, not my lawyer.
All right. Let's hear Daniel. You want to do it? You want
to
do
no,
it?
No, I think Tom
Mac?
Has to. Tom has to say it.
Oh, I'm saying.
He's
oh,
talking
I,
with himself.
No. One person
play it.
Should
okay.
play. If the claw person mm-hmm. speaks back, they should. Someone else should play it. But
okay.
I have to say that thing in the claw language, right? Is that
weird?
Yes,
and
yes.
The, and
yes.
the claw language sounds like Harvey Fire.
Yes. Right. Okay. Gotcha. All right.
That's exactly what it is.
Hey, buddy. You better put up your claws real quickety-split. And you better freeze, all right? Because I'm telling you one thing and one thing only. If you don't do that, I can't help you out from here on out, Puddin.
Puddin!
Yes, perfect.
Exceptional. Okay, it puts up its claws immediately and backs off.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week. And until then, may the Force be with you.
Trust, feel the Force, guide your head.